new technology. I'd love to thank everybody for coming out this afternoon. Your presence here not only expresses your love for Willie, the impact that he had in your lives, but as well your love for the family as a whole, as they've gathered, as they collect and spend this time to remember Willie Sass. We're here for a threefold purpose: to celebrate the life of Willie Sass, to acknowledge your memories of Willie, giving your hearts the breathing room to say, until we meet again, and then as well, to give God his rightful place in all of our lives and say to him, we're children of dust, all feeble and frail, in thee do we trust, and you do not fail. Your mercies, how tender, how firm to the end, our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. John 14, verses 1 through 4 reads this: Let not your hearts be troubled, believe in God, believe also in me. Where I'm going, you know, and the way you know also. Let's pray. Lord, in our time together today, we seek you. May your voice, your touch, your presence reach us in the space of life we are in. Here today, as we sit in these pews, and moving forward, and all that, all the other things that surround us in life, that your truth may become clear to each of us. We ask for your face to shine upon us. We thank you that we have this time to gather and grieve, remember, and celebrate together the life of Willie Sass. Lord, we ask that you bless our time together now. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to, let's stand together and we'll join in a hymn, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God. Born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now bursting my sight. Angels descending, bring from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to invite Susan held to the front to read scripture for us.
Hi, it's so nice to see so many familiar faces and celebrating Uncle Willie today. Uncle Willie's life was a testament to his faith in his Lord Jesus. I remember Willie living his life very cautiously and can't remember him ever being angry or can't ever remember him being unkind to anyone. His life and that of his siblings had some common threads: kindness, gentleness, loyalty, a character that must have been laid at an early age by their mother. Sometime early in Willie's life, he declared his repentance of sins and acknowledged Jesus as his Lord and Savior, thereby declaring the debt paid once and forever paid, a gift available to all of us. And there's two passages I'd like to read. The first is from John 14, verse 2 to 4, says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If not, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. If I go away and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may also be." And then lastly, from Philippians 4, verse 8, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things."
Thank you, Susan. I'd like to invite Cindy and Christy to the front now to share a bit of a life story of Willie Sass with us.
Before we start, we just want to say that we are honored to deliver Uncle Willie's eulogy today. He was a special uncle and meant a lot to a lot of people. We treasure all the memories and we will miss him. Uncle Willie was born to Herman and Alvina Zuss on April 1, 1936 in Poland. He was the second son of seven children born to the Sass family. Fortunately, Uncle Willie, also with his mother and siblings, immigrated to Canada in 1952 through the sponsorship from Faith Baptist Church.
They started their new life in Vernon and attended Faith Baptist Church. Uncle Willie was a member here at Faith Baptist for over 60 years. He was a faithful, kind, humble, hardworking man. He was always willing to help anyone who needed him.
While a member at Faith Baptist, he was an usher and a trustee. In the old church, Uncle Willie would always sit with the young bucks at the back of the church. He was super popular with all the kids, as he always had a pocket full of candies and gave them out with a smile. In this church, Uncle Willie sat right up there. That was his spot. He liked the view.
Uncle Willie took pride in his Sunday car, his copper burnt orange colored Chevy Caprice. He always kept it super clean and shiny. He could have chauffeured the Queen in that car, but Oma and Tanta Martha were the lucky passengers every Sunday for church and Wednesday nights for prayer meeting. Nephews and nieces were often treated to a spin in this classic, whether it was to be taken out for ice cream, being driven to a family barbecue in Oyama, or even driven to get wisdom teeth out. We considered ourselves fortunate to travel in such a fine vehicle.
Uncle Willie was a prankster and loved to joke around. He had a nickname for everyone. This is something he took great pride in. Here are a select few. Greg Saul was nicknamed Duke of Earl because he used to work at Earl's. Andy Laser was otherwise known as Dream Shampoo because of his great hair. Cindy and I are known as the Pigeon Brothers because when we were kids, Dad set us up with an impressive flock of pigeons who kept coming back after he tried to sell them at the auction sale in Armstrong, the greatest money-making scheme ever. Uncle Willie and Dad had a work buddy by the name of Neil. He was known as Sheep because his family in the good old days were sheep farmers. And then there was Uncle Willie's old neighbor, who is also a neighbor of ours, who was appropriately nicknamed Noah because he had two of everything. Uncle Willie would tell stories and always call people sucker. If he was sitting right beside you while he was telling you a story, he would also nudge your arm for effect. Do you know what that sucker did? Uncle Willie had the coolest orange stepside Chevy truck. In it were all the necessities. Little trees, royal pine-scented air fresheners, big red cinnamon gum, and that Vic stick that you'd shove up your nose to clear your sinuses. We all have memories of riding around in that truck.
Uncle Willie and Dad were carpenters and worked on projects together like the Mica Dam in Revelstoke and the Vernon Jubilee Hospital, among many others. They helped each other build their houses, too. Uncle Willie always had time to lend a helping hand to family members. Whether it was building fences, patios, or other numerous construction projects, he would happily help out.
Uncle Willie and Dad also loved to farm together. They bought houses beside each other and shared the acreage together on PV Road. They worked together, changing sprinkler pipes, haying, putting out a few out-of-control grass fires that us nieces lit. During hay season, Oma would always keep a watchful eye, and we would freak her out by riding on top of the hay pile on old Jubilee, Dad's blue truck. She would be yelling at us the whole time to be careful. Uncle Willie and Dad just smiled, and we were allowed to have our fun.
And then there was calving season. Pull up a chair and grab the popcorn. The show is about to begin. We would get up at 5 a.m. dressed in our crazy house coats and watch a new baby calf being born. Steph even got out of bed early in the morning to join us. A memorable calving event was the time the mother cow was struggling to get the baby out. So Dad and Uncle Willie tied a rope around the calf's back hooves, and their intention was to pull as Mama pushed. Well, that mother cow decided to get up and go for a run. She ran around an old car that was parked in the field, the rope hooked on the car bumper, and pop, out came baby. I'm sure the mother cow enjoyed having an audience watching it all unfold.
If you visited Uncle Willie and Tanta Martha's place, you would most likely find them in their backyard, listening to CJIB on the radio and sitting in lawn chairs on their patio. You were always offered food and drink, and in the summertime, popsicles or fudgesicles. Stories were told, laughs were shared, and you were always offered a parting gift or treasure when you were leaving. The Sally Ann thrift store was a popular spot that Uncle Willie shopped at. He always found the treasures that he purchased and brought home. Uncle Willie's garage is full of these treasures. A memory that was shared was when Sydney received a Scooby-Doo stuffed animal that was holding a little satchel. In the satchel was some child's tooth fairy collection of teeth. Sydney and Brett were both horrified at this discovery.
Uncle Willie had a thing with dogs. He definitely wasn't the dog whisperer, he was more like the dog disturber. He would simply walk down the road and you knew he was coming by the chorus of barks. He gave off a certain vibe with his canine friends. He would just look at a dog, approach slowly with his head lowered and arms spread, and the dog would go nuts. He loved the reaction he would get.
Uncle Willie loved it when we took our kids to visit. There are so many memories: Sunday lunches, afternoon juice and cookies, dropping rocks into the storm grate for hours, insisting our kids picked out a stuffed animal from his latest Sally Ann trip before we left, talking about driving, and lots of laughter and joking around. Oh, and if you ever lost your L or N as a new driver, Uncle Willie had a collection that could take care of half of Vernon. He always found them during his daily walks. I don't think any stretch of road was as clean as PV Road. It was beer pop can free and litter free.
Uncle Willie loved his family, those far away and those on the same street. He never had kids of his own, which is why I think he enjoyed all of us nieces and nephews and our kids so much. His sisters and brother also meant the world to him. When Dad passed away, it was evident how much Uncle Willie missed him. When I would go to visit, he would always say, "I miss Art," which I would answer, "I know, Uncle Willie, I do too." They had such a bond as brothers and balanced each other out so well. Uncle Willie was the funny one, and Dad was the serious one. Together, they were the perfect pair.
How comforting is it to know that they are together again in heaven and that we all have the hope that we will one day meet again.
Thank you, Cindy and Christy. We'll remain seated as we sing this next song, "Because He Lives." God sent His Son, they called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lived. How sweet to hold our newborn baby and feel the pride and joy He gives. But greater still, the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days, because Christ lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross that river, I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know He reigns. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds. holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. As I was spending some time just looking through these hymns and sitting down with some of the family and just trying to figure out what would be special this afternoon, I was told that there were certain songs that kind of resonated with the family, resonated with the church. I guess you could almost count them as foundational hymns. And so as we sing these songs and even had an opportunity to review them with Jeremy, not only is the music special and it tugs on us, but the lyrics and in this one, because he lives, is a key one, right? Not because it's a cliched phrase, but because it's truth. And this life that we sing of, because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Although we still have our earthly bodies, there's this hope, this reminder. And in Psalm 23, we begin by reading five simple words. The Lord is my shepherd. And we heard about tending sheep farmers, right? And so I've never done that before. I don't know what sheep are like. I've seen it on TV. I've heard stories, but I know that in large groups, they can become stubborn, but they also know what their role is as they hear a certain voice. The Lord is my shepherd, the Lord, the living one. He who brought into existence all that exists, and sometimes we can translate that to even using this heavily revered, not feared, revered name of Yahweh. The I Am, the one who was and is to come. This mighty being, the psalmist says, is our shepherd. The God of the universe, our shepherd. Can we imagine that? Maybe. In our collected wisdom here this afternoon, can we comprehend it? And I think we can comfortably say no. As much wisdom as we feel that we have, as much knowledge as we feel we understand of who God is, what Christ has done, We can't fully comprehend that the God of the universe has put into motion something that allows us to say, the Lord is my shepherd. The maker of heaven and earth and life is the one who promises that he cares in an intimate and personal way. In John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave. Love is an intimate word, and we use it in a multitude of different ways. I love my cell phone. I love technology and what it allows me to do. I love my fast car. I love my pets. But in the intimacy of the true definition of this word, we begin to reflect a little bit deeper on this love that God, who is love, has for each of us, that he gave. He gave something to us. We don't see God. We haven't seen him physically. Yet, he's given us something. And the shepherd imagery that we read about runs seamlessly like a golden thread throughout Scripture. And through it, there is portrayed a special relationship that God desires and also has with humans. We, as human beings, are the crown of his creation. So if we read Genesis, in the beginning, God created all these things. He spoke these things into existence, and it was good. And then humanity came in, Adam and Eve, and it was very good. We are his image bearers. Yet in all of this, it also remains, what does it mean that the Lord is my shepherd? In John 10, Jesus applies this very word to himself, where he says, I am the good shepherd. Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door to the sheep. Jesus describes to us that he's the doorkeeper, securing entrance into God's presence. He goes on to say that he, the good shepherd, even goes so far as to lay down his life for the sheep. The Bible's clear that Jesus, the good shepherd, took all our pain and sickness upon him, the very sin that separates us from God, the Creator. As a shepherd, we read the accounts where David, a small boy at the time, would encounter bears and lions while tending his father's sheep. And so for myself, not wanting to puff myself up, and if we're being real with each other, unless you're a hunter, in the event that something like that were to happen, most of us would pack up and run. These sheep are not worth losing my life over. Yet, this role that David had taken on was that to protect the sheep. And Jesus was more than that. Jesus was more than just a good teacher, more than a hired hand that would leave when the going got tough. As the good shepherd, he laid down his life for the sheep. The reality of our separation from God, the sin that distracts us from him, brought with it a deep weeping for we, his image bearers. This undercurrent that took place on the cross and in the resurrection. In John 11, Lazarus has died. And Jesus receives a message, and he makes his way. At this point, the message is Lazarus is sick, but he delays his trip by 2 days. And by the time he arrives, Lazarus has passed away. And both Mary and Martha make this comment to Jesus in separate occasions, and they say, if only you had been here, he would not have died. But they were grieving. If only. And in this, Jesus was moved and troubled. Not troubled that he was late, not troubled because he had delayed a couple of days in making his way to Lazarus. He was troubled in the fact that death is a reality. And troubled in that, to many, death represented finality, this void of hope. Later on, in some of the further accounts of Jesus, we read of an anguish that Jesus had as the good shepherd. That his anguish was so great that the sweat off his brow fell like drops of blood. This love that we read of was far greater than any of us might even be able to comprehend. This, our shepherd, this, the shepherd, the savior of all humanity. We find ourselves coming full circle. The Lord is my shepherd. We go back to this. The Lord is my shepherd. We can talk of the Lord and shepherd all we want, but until we embrace this little word, my, we miss the personal meaning of Psalms 23. It is very much, there's many scriptures in the Psalms that are very comforting. They soothe the anguish or the pain that we are going through in whatever that season of life may be. Whether it's the anticipation of one dying, illness, death. This my component is all the difference between a shepherd and my shepherd. The shepherd that was anguishing so much for the crown of creation. Anguishing in the fact that we are living separated lives from our Creator. There's no characteristic so necessary for real religion as the sense of being owned personally by God, tended to by our shepherd, Lord Jesus. Christianity is nothing unless we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. A personal response to a relational God through the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. The love of God, the hope available as we reflect on a shepherd calling out to us. The sheep know the voice of their shepherd. And as we've gathered today and we reflect on the many things that Willie represented to each of us in a variety of different ways. And if we look at that program and we see on one side this very refined gentleman that just looked sharp. And then on the other side of the program, he's got these googly eyes. We can reflect on these things, but we can also reflect on his story. And though some of us knew Willie better than others, an undercurrent that I think we can all take joy in and find peace in and reflect on for our own lives, because death is inevitable. It is this one thing that we wish we could take off the table. Yet, we live and we are all in a place of death, where we're leading towards death. Death is our enemy, and the shepherd, the good shepherd, desires to guard us from that. And Willie now, he knew the voice of his shepherd. And he's joyfully walked through the door of that shepherd. Have we embraced the hope of Jesus Christ, the perfect shepherd, as we sit here and reflect on the Lord is my shepherd? Is that something that we, each of us as individuals, can find hope and comfort in? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This Son, the Good Shepherd, the very one who spoke these words, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through him. And to know that the God of the universe, the one who set all things in motion, is wooing us and calling out to us. My hope and encouragement is that we would tune our ear to this Good Shepherd. Let's stand as we sing this final hymn, The Solid Rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. His oath will come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. You may be seated. Just some final announcements before we depart, head our separate ways. Following the service downstairs, the family invites you to join them in the lower auditorium for coffee, tea, and some sweets, and a time of fellowship. And following the closing prayer, please allow for the family to exit the sanctuary first, and the funeral attendants will provide direction further on this one. Let's close in prayer. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. Lord, as we wait on this side of eternity, we can speculate what is yet to come. Our imaginations can run rampant as wild horses, yet your ways are not our ways. And still in what seems as such secrecy, Lord, you draw in close. Your story is not a secret. Your love has been made visible through your Son. And in recognizing and surrendering to him, there is freedom from the sting of death. Lord, grant each of us the faith required to wholly lean on your name, Jesus. And as we take this time to continue to reflect, continue to grieve, continue to remember and celebrate as well, our brother, our uncle, our friend, Willie Sass, Lord, I pray that you would continue to fill us with your presence, that there would be hope as we look at the story of Willie and are reminded that he, as one of your sheep, heard your voice and is now in the presence of your kingdom and the presence of you. We just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace as you leave us today.